All right, so let's look ahead to 2020, recap a little 2019, talk about a whole variety of issues with Leo Kelly, founder, chief executive officer, and co-chief investment officer of Verdance Capital Advisors, looking after about $2 billion in client assets. He joins us on the phone from Baltimore. Leo, happy new year.
And happy new year to you.
All right, so encapsulate, if you can, 2019 and in a word or phrase. How do you look back on it?
Recovery.
Yeah.
A recovery off of what was a terrible second half to 2018 and the worst December in the market's history. I think there's enthusiasm yet concern over the size of the advance of the market. It was a great year. What was really terrific about this year was the breadth of the advance across the market, which we have not seen in recent rallies. But I think realistically, if you were to look at the market rather than January 1 to December 31st, go back into July, the market is 6% over its former high. So it's been a great year. It's a great advance. And a lot of it has been recovery off of the damage done last year.
You know, one of the things that happened toward the end of the year, Leo, was some consolidation in the brokerage business. Fees coming down. It's obviously of great interest to anyone who has any sort of brokerage account. What are the implications of all that going forward?
I think what we're seeing is the commoditized segments of this industry prices compacting very quickly because of technology, and that's good for a client. As we see this quote-unquote race to zero, and commissions collapsing, and we'll continue to see this in various different facets of the business, that means client costs are going to begin to come down. Business has changed radically over the last 20-some years, and as I look at today's business, it's important for someone in my business to make sure that they're providing value-add advice to a client, because that part of the business still remains very stable, the advice side of the business. But the actual transaction side of the business, those costs will continue to come down. Obviously, they can't go below zero, but they're going to keep coming down. That benefits the client. I would say the one warning I have to clients, however, is remember, if the cost is zero, then the company is selling something else.
Right. They're making money somewhere. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that seemed to be a really important thing that we needed to keep bringing up throughout the course of all these discussions, that somewhere somebody's making money. There really is. I mean, we joke about nothing, you know, no such thing as a free lunch, but there's no such thing as a free trade ultimately, right?
Well, exactly. What's happening in the world of advisory-based business is that these large companies, the Fidelities and the Schwabs and the other wirehouses, they're realizing that clients are more educated, they're more intelligent relative to the basic pieces of this industry, and it is advice that the client is seeking, the personal relationship with an advisor who understands them and can help keep them in markets, that can help invest and know when and where to take risks, that can help them with financial planning and estate planning, some of these more complex issues. And I think these larger companies are realizing they need to start to capture clients and try to bring them over to their advisory-based businesses. So at the end of the day, it is always the advisor and the client's relationship that has value. So I think this is the beginning of a wave of these businesses trying to add to their advisory-based offerings.
All right. I want to ask you about something maybe a little bit off the beaten path, which is it is college bowl season, as we know. The NCAA is grappling, and as it has been for quite some time, and now you're getting some rulings around potentially paying athletes, college athletes, in some way, shape, or form. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's an interesting problem that California has forced to the forefront with their law saying that athletes can be compensated. I think if you look on the surface, and I'm the father of a son who plays college sports, and I think if you look at this on the surface, this is on the surface is a no brainer. Just pay them.
Right.
using their images. These schools make a lot of money, and you should just pay them. And I think there's a clear argument for that. But I think that the other side of that argument is the law of unintended consequence, right? So the first part of this is, what is pay? Is it cash in hand? Is a scholarship pay? Is food and board and clothing and all of that, is that pay? And I think the one caution I would add to this argument is that we don't establish rules that are designed for that super elite athlete in college athletics, who, by the way, in today's world, rarely stays through college,
right?
Who's off to the pros to make a significant amount of money just a couple of years later. And are we going to create an environment where attention becomes too focused to the few and the few schools that have the marketing advantages where kids could make more money at the expense of, say, the female golfing NCAA player,
right,
or the hockey player, or some of the other players, or even the offensive tackle who opens the holes for the
right
star running back?
Right. No, there's a lot to unpack there. I look forward to catching up with you again to talk about that and much more. Leo Kelly, founder, chief executive officer, co-chief investment officer of Verdance Capital Advisors, looking after about $2 billion in client assets, joining us on the phone from Baltimore.